ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चाक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः गुरुगौरगान्धर्वगोविन्दाङ्घ्रिं गणैस्सह वन्दे प्रसादतो येषां सभाराम्बा शुभङ्करा गौरवाग्विग्रहं वन्दे गौराङ्गं वैभवं गौरसङ्कीर्तनोमतं गौरकरुण्यसुन्दरं गुरुरूपहरिं गौरं राधारुचिरुचावृतं नित्यं नौमि नवदीपे नामकीर्तननर्तनै श्रीमत्प्रभुपदाम्बोजमरूपेभ्यो नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण Yes, Prabhu, some question.
Maharaj, question from internet sent by Pavan Krishna Prabhu. We are all searching for home comfort. What is home? How we can understand, here is my home?
What comes to mind? Guru Maharaj quoting Manusmriti. Hridayena bhinu gyato yu dharmastha nibodhata. The heart, which means the deep heart's core consciousness, will recognize at last what is in its true interest. Where is its home? Under layers of acquired prejudice, acquired tendency, the heart is not reliable. So we're told to approach the agents of home. Right? And the heart will resonate with what is heard from them. Guru Maharaj quotes the prayer of Brahma, Gyane Pirasimudapasanamantiva, Jivanti Sanmukharidam Bhavadiyavartam, Stane Sita Srutigatam Tanavan Manobi. That regardless of what our position is at present in the world of misconception, and that it is that which is separating us from home, when we hear from the agent and express some appreciation for that, it resonates in the heart. And then, under their guidance, we begin to make progress towards that destination. So Srila Gurudev so often said, it is a heart-to-heart transaction. Right? That means our home isn't located anywhere within the objective world, but in the subjective plane. Once Srila Guru Maharaj gave a lecture, and he said, referencing sun rays, we see them in this world, they're landing on different areas, on the water, on the land. And he said, but where is their home? Is in the sun. Right. So Krishna is that supremely conscious sun. And he says in Bhagavad Gita, Mame Vangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Is that where the Manakshastani Andriyani Prakriti Stani Karshan Ishvaram Hriday, yeah. Sarvabhutanam Hridayasya. Really, jivas are his angsas. Prabhupada, I'd like to say, part and parcel. But in forgetfulness, we're searching within the objective world to find something that we can call home. And we know, we see with disasters, natural disasters around the world, people are in their so-called happy homes, and then the rain comes, the hurricane, the what is it called here? Typhoon. And then everything finished in a moment, and then they are homeless and heartbroken. And we feel sympathy for them, great sympathy for them. But really, where is that home that we seek located? Nowhere to be found in the objective world, because it should be permanent. Right? The home's not a temporary residence. Right? It's not to be found in the temporary zone. I used to see these signs in the city, in San Francisco. They're everywhere, but they would always say, would say, no parking, temporary zone. And so I used to think, yes, we're trying to park in the temporary zone, but there's no parking in the temporary zone. You'll be ousted one way or the other. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha doshanu darshanam. Krishna's saying the real way of seeing this world is to face the inescapable reality of the objective world, which is that it's a place that's full of suffering, and happiness cannot be conceived properly as just minimizing suffering, right? Because it can't be eliminated. So you can say, well, we try to keep it to a minimum. The Bhagavatam says in the first canto, Narada tasyeva hetu prayateta kovido nadnabhyate brahmatam uparida. Yeah, brahmatam uparida. Yeah, saying, why should you spend all your energy trying to increase your happiness and decrease your suffering when it's already meted out karmically a certain amount of happiness, a certain amount of suffering you'll experience? I think Freud called this the pleasure principle, that we seek to minimize the suffering of existence in search of happiness or pleasure. Interestingly, from Vedic perspective, Krishna's been described as pleasure personified. Real pleasure, lasting pleasure, permanent pleasure. I like to say, in response to those who think that people who are dedicating their lives to spiritual culture, they're, you know, when you say, suppressing the senses and sensory deprivation, and they're leading a very Spartan life. Oh, these things may be true, from half true, but actually, the true spiritual seeker is the ultimate pleasure seeker. Right? They're seeking ultimate pleasure, realizing the temporary nature of so-called pleasure of this world. early on in connection with Krishna consciousness, we used to hear the example of someone being dunked underwater. The modern version, I guess, would be being waterboarded. You know, you're putting, some, they're drowning. Then you let them up for some time, they gasp some air, and then their head is immersed underwater again, and then they come up for air. And what is it saying? That moment when you come from being immersed in the water and have that gasp of air, that's what we're calling pleasure or happiness. What a relief. Dunk your head again under the water. What a relief. That's less than worthy of human pursuit. Just the momentary relief from suffering is not pleasure or pleasure proper. So from the very beginning, we hear Ishvara, first identifying Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna, the Supreme God is Krishna. And Ishvara Parama, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He's the Ananda Vigraha. Right? He's the form. He's pleasure, the form of pleasure. I mean, he's pleasure personified. You can't extract the ananda aspect, the pleasure or happiness, and it cannot exist really without person, without personality. So from the very first thing we're told is Krishna's pleasure personified. Anadir Adir Govinda. And why the name Govinda? As Prabhupada would say sometimes, being lost in Sanskrit, he'd say, go means indriyas. go, it means the senses. And he'd say, go means indriyas. Govinda. All of this madness of sensuality. And by that, I'm not limiting it to the erotic aspect, but it's included. That's driving everyone. The principle of eros, but all types of sensuality. Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling. It's a mad search for fulfillment. But as long as we seek to achieve that, by acquiring, controlling, and consuming that which is lower than us, we'll remain unfulfilled, dissatisfied. That's exploiting tendency. Whereas spiritual culture is about giving yourself to something higher than more superior. And the good news is, ultimately, that is reality, the beautiful, who is Anandamurti. He is pleasure personified. Mm-hmm. So, some hearing the message from the agents, authorized agents of the Absolute, that resonates in the deep heart's core, and following that thread, we're led by them to the land of dedication, which is our home. No place in the world of exploitation can be called home proper. So, Prabhupada, like the expression Saraswati Thakur used it, but back to home, back to Godhead. So he called his magazine the Back to Godhead magazine. Back to home, back to Godhead. And What was the question again, as stated?
We are all searching for home comfort. What is home and how we can understand here is my home?
Mm-hmm. Any other question?
Well, maybe a question from my side. Mm-hmm. As soon as you mentioned Sigmund Freud,
yeah,
I recalled his disciple, Erich Fromm, and his famous work, The Art of Loving. And in preface to this book,
yeah,
of his, he mentioned that he intentionally titled his book not Art of Love, but Art of Loving, because love is active thing, not a passive thing. That's why he used verb instead of using noun.
Mm-hmm.
So my question refers to Shraddha. Is it something passive like faith, or it is active like believing? So faith versus believing, that is the question.
Well, Kaviraj Goswami defines it, Shraddha Shabde Vishwasa Kohe Sudrida Nishchoy Krishna Bhakti Koyale Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. That faith means belief in the prospect that by doing this one thing, everything is done. So it's not passive, it's active. It's saying, by doing this, by giving your energy to this one pursuit, and your energy in all of its form, you know, body, mind, words, intelligence, in this single pursuit, that everything will be got. I like to tell that Einstein, after he immigrated to America, he was at Princeton University, and it's common knowledge that he had a mistress, right, who was a simple-hearted young woman. But she knows this is Einstein, you know. But she doesn't see like him taking notes or writing things down with a pen. And she suggested once, she said, you know, you should have a notebook and there you can keep track of all your ideas. And he said, I don't need a notebook, I only have one idea. And I keep thinking about this one idea. I'm obsessed with this one idea. But what is the one idea? Yasmin vigyate sarvam eva vigyatam bhavati. That thing by knowing which everything is known. Right. So as we're told in the Bhagavatam, everyone is either directly or indirectly searching for Krishna. Right. As Guru Maharaj said, in a very interesting way, because that sounds simple on the one hand, but it's also profound. He said, what is indirect? And I say this because Guru Maharaj said it in light of, we just celebrated Radhastami. So he's saying, Radharani is indirect. I'm going in another direction with this now. She's indirectly Krishna. So he's saying, how can the indirect help you? Oh, the indirect can help you very much. Right? As theistic culture is seeing the infinite and the finite. The opposite of theistic culture is seeing the infinite as finite. But theistic culture is seeing the infinite and the finite. As the Gita Sloka, Sarvabhuteshu Yagna, no, that's in the Bhagavatam. Anyway, Mayi Sarvam Pasiti. One who sees me everywhere and everything is never lost to me, I'm never lost to him. Everywhere and in everything. How to trace something back to the central conception of the infinite. This is spiritual culture. Anything and everything Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is very broad and comprehensive. So, you know, rasoham apsukonteya. Prabhasmi shashishurin, the taste of water, rasoham apsu konteya. I'm that. When you slake your thirst, I'm that. And all different types of liquids, relishable liquids, rasoham, prabhasmi shashishurayo. I'm the light. When you see moonlight, that's me. And that moonlight which is nourishing everything, that's me. Those herbs that the moonlight is nourishing, that are form herbal medicine, that's me. Shashi Suryaya, the sun, the radiant sun, the sunshine, that's extra. Everyone was marveling at this recent eclipse. That's me. In every way, theistic culture is about tracing anything and everything back to the central conception of the infinite. So faith, the culture of faith, is something active. When I took biology, had a biology teacher who said on the first day of the class that he was a little arrogant, you could say, but actually a very good teacher, what he said. I'm going to teach you biology, because he could understand most of these people did not want to learn this. They were there by force, you know. And he'd been doing this for many years. He said, I've actually taught 40,000 people biology. He named what some of his students have gone to do, and so that we would take him seriously. But he said his challenge was, I'm going to teach you biology in such a way that you're going to see biology in everything, in anything and everything. When you wake up in the morning and brush your teeth, you're going to see biology. You know, when you're answering the calls of nature, you're going to see biology. When you eat your breakfast, you're going to see biology. When you read the paper, when you drive your car, you know, when you drink a glass of water, you know, he just named everything. He said, you're going to see it as biology. And I thought, was like bold, you know. And then after hearing from him day after day, I began to see biology in everything. And I thought, oh, he is a good teacher. So it's similar to that. Everything that was seen before will be seen again, but anew, when, through the culture of faith, we trace it back to the central conception of the infinite. Not merely the infinite, the central conception of the infinite. As I've mentioned many times, we're so far removed from the truth that it's only the extremes of the infinite that we're more comfortable with, we think are scientific. Greater than the greatest. Trillion, trillion stars we see through the Hubble telescope and these remote galaxies. We start calculating things in terms of light years. That's a system of measurement. Guru Maharaj is saying there's also a system of measurement in faith. When, you know, meter, kilometer, no longer suffice, then they have to go to light year, you know, the speed of light, to measure. And we're talking about the objective world, so which is what? Measurable. Another meaning of Maya is that which can be measured. And we're so proud of our ability to measure Maya. Right? But Vaikuntha means immeasurable. Spiritual culture is about conceiving the immeasurable. And you say, well, that's impossible. But as the poet Röttke said, we need more people to specialize in the impossible. So then we say, well, but to measure the immeasurable is an impossible proposal. It's beyond our means. That's true. Yes. As the man said to Guru Maharaj, if the infinite can be known to the finite, it's not infinite. Yes, atak Shri Krishna namadi nabhavyed grahyam indre. That Ananda Vigraha Krishna, and Mahaprabhu, we like to say Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya. There is a devotee. I told Gurudev when I first went to Vrindavan, there were two cooks. There's nothing there, just rebar coming out of the sand, which later became Krishna Balaram Temple. But there was some tents, and like army tent. But the cooks, one was Jamuna, the famous Jamuna, you know, Radha Krishna Temple album and cookbook. She was the one cook. The other was Anand, someone they called Anand Maharaj. And this Anand Maharaj was a very jolly fellow, disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was like a super cook. So these two super cooks in this very Spartan environment, the prasadam was extraordinary. I was telling Srila Gurudev about it. He said, oh, yes, Anand, he was Srila Saraswati Thakur's cook. Think about that. And he said, his name actually was Ananda Leela Maya Vigraha Prabhu. Because that's in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, and again echoed by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. Ananda Babaji Maharaj would sing this. Ananda Leela Maya Vigrahaya. Hey Ma Bodhivyat Chavi Sundaraya. Tasmai Mahaprema Rasa Pradaya. Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. It's a very beautiful sloka about Mahaprabhu, Ananda Leela Maya Vigraha. Hemaba means beautiful. Anyway, so his name was, he was given the name Ananda Leela Maya Vigraha Prabhu. So Guruni said, naturally, everyone called him Anand, for short. But so, that Krishna, who is Anandam personified, cannot be an object of the senses, which leads... because then it would be something of the objective world. And this leads many to the wrong conclusion that he's therefore non-sensual, which is interesting. It has the word nonsense in it. So that's what I think of that concept. The non-sensual conception is sort of says it all. It's nonsense. It doesn't make sense, and it's without senses. Whereas Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, but to appreciate the name of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, are beyond the grasp of the mind and senses, and the intellect. Right? You're trying to measure the immeasurable by a finite system of measurement called rational thought. And then coming up empty-handed and declaring, God is dead, God, there is no God. Because you cannot verify this by finite means. But that's what Rupa Goswami is saying. Yes, you cannot verify the infinite by finite means. Yes, that is conceded. But namadi, takshri krishna namadi nabhavye graham indriye, save on mukhehi javaro shayam eva spuratira. But through service, by offering oneself, allowing ourselves to be the object of the super subject, then, as Guru Maharaj told that man, the infinite can make itself known to the finite, or it's not infinite. And therein lies the prospect of theistic culture. That is something beautiful. And I've mentioned that, you know, arguably one of the great contrarian, Christopher Hitchens, one of the great atheists of the 20th and 21st century, his friend Martin Amis, the writer, who's also a self-proclaimed atheist, he would say, but Hitch, wouldn't we have to admit that in the infinite possibility of things, it could be possible? We don't believe it, but we, as, you know, also rational, reasonable people, we said, well, considering infinite possibility, but he would say, no, we can't say that. Because once we say that, then we're opening the door for theistic culture. That door swings open. That the infinite can make itself known to the finite by infinite means. That the perfect can make itself known to the imperfect. Yes, the imperfect, by imperfect means, cannot achieve the perfect, cannot know the perfect, cannot ascertain the perfect. But the perfect, by perfect means, can make itself known to who? Those who are apparently imperfect, but not apparently to errors human. Right? So the infinite can make itself known to the finite, but beginning with the extremes, that we're more comfortable with. Greater than the greatest, all accommodating Brahma. And interesting, as a sidebar, that philosophy can accommodate everything, or, to be less generous, devour everything like a timingila, the whale devouring whale. I used to think, like, how is that really possible? But I remember visiting the Smithsonian Institute Museum in Washington, D.C. as a child. And there was this one whale they had on display that it was so big, and its mouth, that I said, oh, that one could swallow other whales. Mayavada timingilo daragatan udritta jivaniman. Mayavad is that timingila that it devours, swallows everything. But that we're comfortable with. Greater than the greatest, all accommodating Brahma. At the other extreme, Paramatma, you know, all pervading, all permeating, smaller than the smallest, within everything. Those are the extremes of the infinite. But the central conception of the infinite, Guru Maharaj posed as, what would be the golden mean of the infinite? If these are the extremes, what is the golden mean, the central conception of the infinite? As Brahma is all accommodating, Paramatma all permeating, the central conception of the infinite is all attractive, attracting everything to the center. not unlike gravity, but what is the gravitational pull? Beauty, charm, sweetness, happiness, love, affection. How wonderful is that to understand the central conception of the infinite is, in fact, the personality of Godhead. Not just generic Godhead or God. God is such a nondescript term that Saraswati Thakur preferred Godhead as more comprehensive, and the personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada liked the supreme personality of Godhead, as there may be numerous personalities of Godhead, right? Nana avatara makaro bhuvaneshu kintu. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Silence is golden. So, theistic culture is about searching for that one thing. Upon achieving, everything is got. Upon knowing which, everything is known. Bhagavad Gita and the Samadhi Sutra says, Yam labha chapram labham manyate nadikam tataha. When you get this, you'll think you've got everything. And not only think, it'll be true. Rukmini, Sutva gunan bhuvana sundara svanvatam te nirvisya karna vivarai haratonga tapam. Rupam dasham dasimatam akilarta labam twayachuta vishati chitramapatrapam me. Very peculiar. Normally, the kidnappers send a ransom note. But Rukmini, she's sending a note to the kidnapper saying, please kidnap me. Save me from my karmic circumstance. I'm inextricably surrounded by karmic circumstance of my own doing. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkuram patitamam visrame bhavam budho. Kripaya tava pada pankaja. Mahaprabhu is voiced in saying, I'm supposed to be Krishna Kinkar. At my home address, it says Krishna Kinkar. What are all these other names I've adopted in the interim? Drowning in an ocean of forgetfulness, of ignorance of my actual relationship with the personality of Godhead. And so she's saying, she's writing a note to Krishna saying, only you can rescue me from my karmic circumstances. And then she gives her the history of her Krishna conception. Srutva gunan bhuvana sundara srinvatam te. When I heard your, because remember at this point, she's not met Krishna. So why, someone she's never met, she is inviting to kidnap her and take her away, become her husband. Shouldn't there be, you know, you look into that a little more. No, she's saying, Sutva gunan bhuvana, by hearing your qualities, like nama guna rupa lila, back to Atakshri Krishna namadi, sevan mukha, hearing your qualities, Sutvagunat bhuvana sundara, I could understand you are the most beautiful thing in the world and not of this world, beyond this world. Right? And then I understood why there is such a thing as hearing and the ear and the sense of hearing. This is a bold sweeping statement. He's saying, hearing about you, I understood why there is such a thing as hearing. Not like, this is a good thing to do with your hearing. You can do many things, right? The evolution, they will tell us now. No, see, the hearing, that's the ear, one on each side, so when the dangerous predators are coming, you can hear them and know it's time to flee. God, life has to be more than that. That's not what she's saying. She's saying, when I heard about you and your qualities, I understood why hearing, what the purpose of hearing is. For such a devotee and for those in increasing participation in spiritual culture, it's not an option. It's not just something you do on the weekend, right? Or from time to time. Right? They become increasingly obsessed with hearing about Krishna in a genuine way, not neuro-linguistic programming, right? Which, you know, you put on the headphones and go to sleep, you know, and you wake up and you're Krishna conscious. There's an app for that. Right? Not like that. From the heart, again, what resonated in the heart, Purvishta Karna Randrena, Swanam Bhavam Sarovaram, Dunoti Shamala Krishna, Shalayasi Yatasarat, the Bhagavatam. Okay? Purvishta Karna Randrena, through the, it's like a stream of sound going through the ear and touching the heart, actually. That's how Krishna conception enters. The heart is resonating with what's been heard from sadhu, shastra, guru, and Vaishnav. And in the dynamic progressive culture of Krishna realization, the form of Krishna is appearing from that sound. That's why the sequence is Nam, Roop, Gun, Lila. Nirvishakarna Vivaray Haratongatapam. He's saying, and this put an end to all my suffering. Harata. Tap, the sufferings of existence. And what? Rupam Visham Vishimatam Akilartalabam. And then seeing you from this sound form, the form of Krishna begins to appear and make an impression. See that? Then I could understand why we have eyes. Back to, we're told, the very first thing we're told, he's Govinda. He, what does it mean? Gives pleasure to the senses. He fulfills the senses. What the senses are seeking, he doesn't only supply that, he is that. We want to see, we want sound beauty, taste beauty, form beauty, touch beauty, aromatic beauty. These are the things we seek. It's an indirect way of describing Krishna. He is sound beauty ad infinitum, form beauty ad infinitum, taste beauty ad infinitum, aromatic beauty ad infinitum. That's really what we're looking for. And so she says in one of her other prayers, and she's saying, once someone has had a glimpse of you, your conception, how could you be satisfied? I'm not even going to say it because you can read the description. But she starts describing the male form, but you know, it could be, she starts describing a material body, what it is in detail. And saying, so you got Krishna, beauty personified, who is what? Hypersensuous, super sensuous. He's from the super, super subjective world. He is super sensuous. He is not without senses. He is not imperceivable. But not to the mundane eye, ear, tongue, etc. But to the, we told in the beginning, Agyanatamarandasya Agyananjana Salakaya Chaksurumilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Guru Maharaj asked me if they were using lasers for surgery. He liked that and said they'll do a lot of this in the future because it's light. So it's so apt. Like, they now use lasers for eye surgery, right, to remove cataracts. So Saraswati Thakur once said, rendering this sloka, that my eyes were, you know, cataracted with ignorance. The cataracts of ignorance is what is distorting our vision. And he's saying, but my Gurudev, Sri Guru, with surgical precision, like the laser surgery, removed the cataractous eye of ignorance. When the devotee arrived at the mat and asked Guru Maharaj, now that I'm here, what should be my service? And Guru Maharaj said, to acquire the proper angle of vision. He thought he was going to be told, you will mop the temple room, or you will help in the kitchen. And it's not just for the record, you know, because someone will say that when they're asked to mop the temple room or help in the kitchen. No, Goswami Maharaj said, Guru Maharaj said, it's acquire the proper angle of vision. Then that would be the antithesis of acquiring the proper angle of vision. Nonetheless, he said, your service is to acquire the proper angle of vision. Religion means proper adjustment. Adjustment would be absolute and relative. Spiritual culture means from the relative position pursuing the absolute. And what did we say in the beginning? Guru Maharaj saying, from here, tracing the infinite and the finite. As was the case with Prahlad, Guru Maharaj said, he could see the infinite and the finite, namely in the Nrisingadev and the pillar. Not everyone will see Nrisingadev in a pillar. And neither will he come out of a pillar for anybody and everybody. Right? In other words, by the love and affection and the heart of Prahlad Maharaj, the infinite came out of the finite. Think of that. It's not like he was just like already there in a particular pillar. Potentially, yes. But why that pillar? Why? Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu could have pointed to anything, but he said, is he there? It's the love of Prahlad Maharaj that the central conception of the infinite and an extension, the Sringade, the infinite came out of the finite. That is inconceivably wonderful. And theistic culture is about seeing the infinite and the finite. But that's a general term. And who is that infinite? Govinda, the one who is the personification to an infinite degree of what your senses are searching for. The super sensuous personality of Godhead. that should at least arouse, you know, one's interest. The prospect back to faith. The faith means, because obviously it's undeveloped at this point, means hearing these things, sadhu, shastra, guru, Vaishnava. The heart resonates in such a way as to say, possible. As that one friend, atheist, said to the other friend, atheist, possible. Just the minimal requirement, just to accept the possibility that what you're hearing from the Vaishnavas, from the scriptures, that it's possible. That belief, the seed there, possible. I'm so overwhelmed by mundane association and rational thought that I have a tendency to doubt, to disbelieve. As Dali said when asked, Salvador Dali, do you believe in God? And he said, yes, but I have no faith. So, means he needs association, as Avadhut Maharaj would say. Sadhu Sangha Satovare. Just the possibility, the prospect that the infinite can make itself known to the finite. Now that's a horse of a different color, Hayagriva. The infinite can make itself known to the finite. That's a beautiful thought. That prospect, the belief that that's possible. I admit, I acknowledge that possibility. And then from there to proceed under the guidance of Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnav, so that we'll grow and develop. So it is not passive. And not to decry passivity, because we can say, you know, Shantarasa is passive in one sense. But you can see in Rupa Goswami's analysis, when you put it in a certain context, he doesn't even include that, because there's no, in a sense, active participation. Anything else?
A question from Kunti Priya Didi.
Hare Krishna.
How we should conceive that substantials, Siddhanta Tattva Rasa Tattva, where we can find out the confluence that substance is? Is that the example of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis?
This question was asked before, I think.
She likes to refer to thesis.
To Hegelian dialectic.
Yeah, but the question sounds different.
Sanatana Goswami Prabhu is the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya. Sambandha Gyan Acharya. Rupa Goswami Abhideya Raghunath Das Goswami Prayojan Tattva. And his premier Siddhantic book is the Brihad Bhagavatamritam. And there he's showing the gradation of theistic culture, culminating in the Goloka Mahatmyam, the glories of Goloka Vrindavan, and praise of Srimati Radharani and Brajagopis. Uh, But we cannot help but note that this story is told through the medium of Gopakumar. What does this tell us is how delicately Sanatana Goswami Prabhu is dealing with this prospect. Ultimate prospect, Madhura Rasa. He knows everything about it, and he knows also how to present it step by step, stage by stage, and through the medium of a cowherd boy. And deep in the book, when Gopakumar has entered Goloka Vrindavan, he's at the house of Nanda Maharaj, having finished dinner with Krishna and Balaram and Nanda Yashoda, Radharani, Brajagopis, everyone. Afterwards, he indicates that later that evening, Krishna, Radharani, Brajagopis rendezvous, and he said, I can't say anything about this. He is the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya. So how cautious the substantial devotees are. So I've heard sometimes devotees think they're wondering, we're on the sequence given by Rupa Goswami, Ado Shraddha, Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhav, Prem. And they're wondering where they are in this sequence. Srila Guru Maharaj said, actual Shuddha Vaishnav, pure devotee, will never think they have achieved anartha nivritti. And anartha meaning two things, unwanted, undesirable things, faults, lack of qualification, and another meaning of artha is conception. Anartha means misconception. So those in the progressive line of devotion, they never exempt themselves. You cannot self-certify. So what does Guru Maharaj recommend? Modest, natural growth, not artificial hothouse ripening like they do in India in mango season. I have bought some of those mangoes by accident. Horrible. Because people are mad for mangoes and they're not really ripe yet, but they want to take them to market. What is it called? Carbide? Some horrible thing they put in there that makes them appear, it's just horrible. You'd have to delude yourself into thinking this is tasteful. As we were told that story, the Persian king, I think, his ambassador is always going to India. And when he returns, he has these tales of, the opulences of India, including the mango, right? The supreme fruit, the mango. And he's just telling him how relishable are these mangoes. You've never had anything. It's the most inconceivably wonderful fruit you could ever taste. And I've tried to bring them to you each time, but these were the days where it takes weeks and long time to travel, maybe months to travel. And he said, and by the time we get here, they're rotten. But I am so much wanting to taste mango. He's saying, what to do? And he gets an idea and he makes some paste and tamarind and turmeric and some sugar and honey. And they are Muslims, so they have these beards, and sometimes they call that stringy part of the mango the beard from the seed. And he takes the paste and puts it in his beard, and he tells the king, "Suck my beard." And he's like, and he goes, "Now you know what is mango." We don't want that. Accept no substitute. Sarvapati vinirmuktam, accept no substitute. Nirmal. Tatparatena nirmalam, rishikena hrishikesha sevanam, bhakti ruchyate. Again, isn't that interesting, saying the seva is to whom? What is it? Remember when you said about faith, active or passive? Saying seva, hrishikena hrishikesha, using your senses to serve Krishna. That is a great thing. Can use all the senses in the service of Krishna. Hrishika Isha. You could say he's the Lord of the senses, master of the senses. But in other words, saying he's the object of the... This is what they're meant for. That type of Lord of the senses. And you get to use them in the service of Krishna as if there was any other purpose. That option is there. That's why we're here. We exercise that option. So, the different aspects of Siddhanta, including rasa, tattva, and such things, there, everything is perfectly presented in Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. That is the safest method of exposure. But, as Guru Maharaj said, Kaviraj Goswami has presented in Charitamritam Madhura Rasa in a way that it cannot be misunderstood. Pause. And still it is misunderstood. What did we hear from Prabhupada? Day one, you know, the first week, that the actual spiritually realized souls, the Raga Bhaktas, for fear of misleading neophytes, they still practice and observe everything as if they were aspiring practitioners, lest neophytes be misled through imitation. And as he also said, you imitate a Mahabhagavata, you go down. As the man in Navadvip who was observing Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj and seeing from his bhajan kuti, or hearing sometimes wailing, pitiful wailing, crying, expressions of ecstatic emotion. So he thought, he made a hut on the banks of the Ganga. Ganga Tata Navadipoka. He made a hut. Then he entered, and he's taking Krishna Nam, and then wailing and crying and expressing so many things. And Babaji Maharaj, who Prabhupada once described as a very humorous fellow, said about that man, he said, if a girl enters a labor room, that means the room for producing children, having babies. If a girl enters a labor room and starts going, oh, and moaning and groaning, and does she produce a baby? by imitating a woman in childbirth, does she enters that room and imitates that. Does any baby come? And as Guru Maharaj said wryly, many other events must have taken place before that. So look at that. For something substantial to be produced, seed, bhakti lata bee, the seed. Then it grows and develops gradually. Right? We're told, and the bhav ankur and bhava bhakti, which is a very high stage of spiritual achievement, that at that time, and that's after anartha nivritti, we said the shuddha bhakti will never think they're free from that. They don't exempt themselves. Guru said, if you don't, it's a ladder. This is a ladder. He said, what happens if you eliminate a step on a ladder? Can anyone guess? What happens? You fall down. But still, so after nishta, ruchi, ashakti, bhav, we're told at that point, the bhakti lata, the beads which was growing as a creeper, it flowers, it blossoms. Doesn't produce the fruit, it blossoms, it flowers. And that flower, the flower of that devotion, has an aroma which is charming to Krishna. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa, Rupa Goswami says, identifies as one of the qualities, characteristics of pure devotion from the very beginning of Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. The infinite now coming under the control of the finite. Who can be trusted with that? What finite can be trusted with control of the infinite? Only one who's holy one and in every way imaginable, yet retaining their individuality. So Saraswati Thakur composed the Prakrita Rasa Shatadushini, as Madhva did Mayavad Shatadushini, 100 flaws of Mayavad. There are innumerable, he selected 100. Saraswati Thakur did Prakrita Rasa Shatadushini, 100 flaws of Prakrita Sahajism. There are innumerable flaws, 100 principal ones. And if you look there, every line then, bolena, habena, janina, it's never this, it's never that, they never say this, they don't do this. It's no, 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 100 no's. As Guru Maharaj said, he spilled 100 gallons of blood to show what Madhura Rasa is not. Then you think, why? Why so much emphasis on what it's not? Why? To make it abundantly clear what it is and when it is. So prematurely approaching that plane, trying to enter there will yield a disastrous result. And often we see permanent damage, permanent spiritual damage that cannot be undone for many lifetimes. Koti kalpa. Passport is not enough. Visa is required. You can't give yourself a visa. I know sometimes, I don't want the Russian devotees and Photoshop, but erase that from the thing. You can't do that. You can't Photoshop your way with counterfeit documents into the Vaikuntha world. I'm sorry to inform you all. As Guru Maharaj said, the visa granting officers, what do they decide? It's a given that you want to enter there. That's a given. It's an application. We understand you would like to enter there. When do they give you the visa? When they decide it's in the interest of that country, that plane, that world to bring you in. It's in their interest. It's the seva mayoyam loka. It's the world of, it's constructed out of serving tendencies. As when Bhaktivinoda Thakur concluding perhaps Kalyana Kalpataruna, he said, you know, signs, you know, the lowly Kedarnath, the Jarudar, the sweeper and the Namhata of Nityananda Prabhu. And Saraswati Thakur said, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a sweeper in that plane, then my aspiration is to be one of the straws in his broom. This is the proper realization and expression of Mahaprabhu's teachings, Trinadapi Sunichena. And Guru Maharaj said, if we take it that this statement of Saraswati Thakur is sincere, and it's not just being clever. He said, if we take it as a sincere statement, he said, then we can understand the unit of construction of the Swaroop. It's comprised of humble, dedicating tendencies. Just as the body in this world is the biological expression of the soul's delusion, the Swaroop is the form expression of the soul's devotion. In the Chinmoy world, not intellectualism, it's not data transfer. Heart-to-heart transaction is not data transfer. What is the famous word? Dibyam gyanam yato dadyat kurya papas. Dibya gyan is not data transfer. It's not information. Therefore, the necessity of the agent, guru, a bona fide agent of that plane. Otherwise, you can Google it. We want something real and substantial. I mean, but this is a thrilling prospect or possibility to connect with an agent who's actually connected with that plane, and to know that your energy, your service, your dedication is being transformed through the agency, through the agents, into something that's recognizable currency in that plane. So only with the greatest caution are we to consider those things. And we see in Chaitanya Charitamritam, in Purayan, continuous reading, these subject matters are actually dealt with, but we're not to dwell on the details, discuss the details, to try and force our way in there. As when that disciple of Saraswati Thakur, who was a Sanskritian and so inclined, said, you know, he wanted to have, private study with him of Ujjal Nilamani and other such literature. And Saraswati Thakur refused. And when that person left, Saraswati Thakur is also a very humorous person at times. He said to his disciple, about that man, he said, you know, and in his real life, he's a lady. And due to connection with Krishna, he became pregnant. When Guru Maharaj told this story, he said, "How you will take it, I don't know." He said, in his real life, he's a lady. In other words, this is his comment on those who they're voyeuristically envisioning themselves as Manjaris and Sakis. And he's saying, in his real life, he's a lady. And due to connection with Krishna, the outcome was pregnancy. Meaning what? You've carried a mundane conception of what that could be. Prakrita, not aprakrita, prakrita, mundane, and then you can expect a mundane outcome. But it is aprakrita. It appears like the mundane, but is not. So only with the greatest caution as it approaches, we see how safely, under the guidance of Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, read Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Otherwise, read Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam and see these things are dealt there in a substantial way, but by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Remember, he also wrote a book called, as he has Chaitanya Charitamritam, he has another book called Govinda Lilamritam. But that, within Chaitanya Charitamrita, he extracted a few verses that he knows expertly. These are verses that will awaken this sort of taste within the heart of the sincere reader. Bikriditam brajabhaduridam ca Vishnu swadhan vato anusranayad atavarnayedyat. It's all about the culture of faith, which is dynamically executed with all of one's sensual capacity, body, mind, senses, and everything. And all of this is executed under the ever-watchful eye of Yoga Maya. She knows who needs to know what and when. What needs to be supplied to whom? Out of a necessity of service in the upper world. And lastly, I'll just say, when someone was asking Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, about Siddha Pranali, culturing his higher things. And by the way, Guru Maharaj said, when Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami, Manasa Radha Krishna Seva Manasa Koribe, said, it's not in the mundane mind. That's an instruction given to a substantial Vaishnava. But anyway, so this one lady was asking Srila Gurudev about Siddha Pranali culture, and he asked her to turn the light off, one of the lights on his veranda. In India there's many switches, and she went and turned the fan on, off, light, TV, everything was going on and off. And Gurudev shook his head and he said, one who cannot make off the light should not ask about Siddha Pranali. On that note, Hare Krishna.